Welcome to the Scholarship Chat Podcast. I am your host, Ashley Hill. Here we talk about the scholarship tips, tools, and strategies that you need to fund your dream career. Let's get started.
Awesome. Cool. So I want to welcome everyone to the next edition of the Scholarship Chat Podcast. I'm super, super excited because we have Ms. Nikita Bowman here. So welcome, Nikita. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. So I'm really excited. We were talking offline, but I'll share with everyone listening. If you have an amazing story, I'm excited because we're both come from the STEM background, so I'm excited to get into some of that. But before we begin all of that, Nikita, if you can introduce yourself and what you do.
Yes, I go by the Coach Kita, and my name is Nikita Bowman. I started out as an engineer, and now I am a teen life coach as well as a motivational speaker. And basically, I do a similar thing to you, helping youth to determine what their career trajectory is going to be, helping them to find scholarships, and just prepare for the transition into college.
And it is a transition, and that was a perfect segue into my first question, which is, now that you're helping students, take us back a little bit and tell us about your own journey of how you prepared for college.
Yes. That's a great question to start with. So I graduated many moons ago, and in high school, I was very active in church. I was very active in school. I was the commander of our church's drill team. I was in debate. I played 3 different sports in one district on several different occasions, as well as, of course, getting high academic achievement. I think I graduated with like a 3.85 from the top 10% of my class. So I don't have a silver spoon in my mouth. My parents are in the, I guess you could say, middle class. And at the time, neither one of my parents had graduated from college as well. So My brother did go to school, but he didn't have any scholarships. So I was kind of on my own as far as navigating that whole process. And as you've spoken on, I went local. So in my counselor's office, we had a local packet that they would put out of all the local scholarships that were available. And I applied. So I got some large ones, like $5,000, some smaller ones, like $250, $500. And it came out to about $15,000 in scholarships. And I applied to Prairie View A&M University, as well as Xavier and I forgot the other school. I got into all of them. I got a $4,000 scholarship from Xavier, but I got a full ride scholarship based on my academic achievement to Prairie View A&M University. And so throughout the time that I was there, I actually got either work study or other applications that I applied for scholarships and paid most of my way through college, having very little debt when I graduated. So I was very blessed to have a really good resume, lots of opportunities that I had created for myself, and I was very active and engaged in high school. And thankfully, I was rewarded by being in the honors program at Prairie View.
And you know what? I love that. And for those that are listening, what one thing I was jotting down notes here, but one thing that I took away that Nikita just said is that she was active and engaged. She didn't say that scholarships fell from heaven and floated into her lap.
Absolutely not.
but that you did the work. And so I'm so glad that you touched on that because, and now that you're a teen life coach, I know you can probably speak on this even more, but I'm seeing some teens even now and they're just kind of like, okay, I'm smart. Why aren't things coming to me? You know, kind of that attitude. So I'm so glad that you touched on that about doing the work.
I actually, in hindsight, considering all that I had achieved and the level that I was at, I wish that I had applied myself more because I was very active. I had a lot of leadership on my resume. I had great recommendation letters. I'm sure if I had applied for more scholarships, I kind of laid back a bit because I did have a full ride. But the money that I did accumulate, I had enough money to pay for my first car cash. So, yeah.
I mean,
so I wish I had worked a little bit harder to get more scholarships, but in spite of that, you know, hindsight 2020, as they say.
Right. But I think that's pretty good, you know, that the work that you did put in netted you know, not only the full ride, which we're going to get into in just a second, but also that additional money. So I, you know, that to me is the wonderful part about it. It's like you said, you're able to then purchase a car cash and you didn't have to go into debt or take on a car loan payment, you know, to pay for that. So all to the, like you said, having a great resume, being engaged, that's definitely the way to go. So I'm so glad that that was your journey so you could share it with us.
Yeah, and the other part of that is that I was studying engineering, so STEM can be quite economical for especially African-American students. There were a lot of minority and STEM-related scholarships that I was able to qualify for.
Absolutely, and since we're talking about that, so as you mentioned, you received a full ride, which is amazing for your undergraduate degree, and we were just talking about that additional scholarship money that you received. But tell us and talk more about this, the STEM aspect, like you were just talking about with engineering being more lucrative. You know, tell us how really that kind of unfolded, that full ride.
Well, I described a little bit of my high school journey. When I applied to Prairie View, they have the honors program. I believe there's, I saw the director that taught me like 12 years ago. He still works there. He doesn't have the same job, but he still works there. But anyway, so I just simply applied to Prairie View, and based on my scores on my, I can't remember if it was the SAT or the ACT, based on my academic achievement in high school and based on my resume, they rewarded me with a full ride scholarship, which paid for not only my books and my tuition, but it also paid for me to live on campus and paid for my food. So room and board as well. And I actually got into academic trouble, I think it was my sophomore year, and I wrote to the – no, I didn't get into academic trouble. I didn't have enough money, so the fees increased, and it didn't cover full ride anymore. So I wrote to the president, and I kind of threatened him and said, look, I'm so grateful for the full ride scholarship that you guys have given me, but fees have increased. I am a African-American female in the STEM field, and I really don't think you want to lose me as far as your quota.
Yes.
And they gave me the increase. I forgot how much it was, but they ended up rewarding me with the increase. And many of my teachers, professors, and the administration at Prairie View knows me very well because I'm very vocal when I need something and very persistent about getting it. So shout out to Prairie View for being accessible to their students.
Yes. And I'm so glad that you shared that. A few things stood out to me. First of all, and for those that are listening, it's interesting how when we talk about full rides, everyone always assumes that I'm covered for the next 4 years, I'm good to go. But in your case, you know, it is very possible that fees could increase.
Yeah.
And when that happens, you know, I believe in being proactive versus reactive. And in your case, you know, that's what you did is you reached out, you know, you wrote to the president, you brought up what was important, that quota.
So they rewarded me for having good grades as well.
Yes, and I know I wanted to kind of slide this in before I ask the next question is to talk about engineering. So for those that are listening, if you can kind of tell us your experience, you know, taking your engineering courses and then kind of going into the field, kind of describe how that was for you.
Hard, very hard. I always tell students who say, well, I can't do engineering because I'm not good at math. I can't do engineering because of X, Y, Z. I say, I'm still not good at math to this day. But to me, college, especially engineering, is a team sport. I'm still best friends with at least one of my classmates, and we spent many moons and nights tapping each other on the shoulder. Hey, wake up. We got to finish this lab. Hey, wake up. We got to finish this paper, this project. So whatever your weakness is, don't let that hold you back, because all you have to do is really partner with a good study group or a good person that is either a little better than you or at the same level as you. And sometimes you might be the weak crutch, but as long as you are active and engaged and trying to be better, having someone teach you actually helps them reinforce what they know. So it's kind of a win-win situation. So that was, it was very difficult, but I would say you have to do homework unless you're one of those geniuses, and I didn't know any of them while I was in school, but you have to be active and do your homework, read ahead as far as study skills goes, because you don't want the first time that you're receiving information to be when you're sitting in front of a professor. So I'm getting off on engineering in particular, but that's what really got me through, was making my professors my friends, and having a good study group of friends that also helped me as far as, you know, getting through. But my specific major was mechanical engineering, which is basically, it expands across almost all of the other engineering disciplines, meaning I had to learn a lot of other disciplines while I was going along, but it spans across a lot of the other disciplines. And the job that I ended up getting, I graduated with a 3.0, and took me 6 years, so I was a super senior. I did have, I believe it was an eight-month-long internship where I worked at Lockheed Martin, which I have a pretty cool story about how I got recruited there. I worked at what was it called? I can't remember the name of the other company, but I had another oil and gas company that I did an internship for, as well as other research projects where I worked on carbon nanotubes. I did a satellite training program, other unmanned space aircraft project with NASA. So if you do the math on being in school 6 years, I did fail some classes and ended up getting into other research in order to fund the rest of whatever I owed while I was in school. So after that, I ended up, well, I was just as active as I was in high school. I was active in college. I started organizations while I was on campus. I was either on a committee as a committee head, or I was on the leadership team as a vice president or commander or whatever. I was in a lot of organizations while I was in college, and ended up graduating with a 3.0. Now, what's important about engineering is it's not just about finishing in order to get a good offer or in order to get an offer at all, because a lot of engineering firms, you need to have a 3.0 or above in order to be recruited top of the class. So I skated by with a 3.0, a 2.999, but, you know, 2.0. But I had some glowing recommendations, and I'm still a Mac when it comes to interviewing. And so I ended up getting in at a Fortune 500 company in the defense industry. And I went up there. They never heard of Prairie View before. They heard of the state of Texas, but never of my school. And we had a huge round robin interviewing extravaganza. And I blew everyone away. Even though I was an underdog coming from HBCU, going up against MIT, this was up in Boston, so you had WPI, all these schools I'd never heard of, so they didn't really intimidate me. I mean, I've heard of MIT, but some of the other ones I hadn't heard of before. And, yeah, I went up there and I blew them away. It was for a quality talent development program, so I ended up going into quality and a leadership development program, and I was the only person to ever score a perfect score, 300, on the interviewing process. So I came out, again, top of my class, and led leadership executive-level projects with the mentorship of some of the program leads while I was there at that company. They flew me all over the country. I didn't make it international, but I did go on a lot of trips on the company. I got to come back to Prairie View to recruit. So I had a pretty good time while I was in corporate.
That is really, I'm just sitting here like, that is awesome. Gosh, I was writing down some things. For those that are listening, I hope you're encouraged by Nikita's story, because the big thing that stood out to me, well, two big things. One is she didn't give up in adversity. And number two, and Nikita, is that you, like, even when you were going through your engineering program, like you said, you developed relationships with your professors. You had your friends, you know, those in the program with you, and you guys helped each other, you know, supported each other. So
yes, we did. I'm going on a trip to Columbia with one of my college friends in September, as a matter of fact. And it's the first time ever since we were both working and able to go at the same time, because we've been either I was in grad school or she was in grad school, going back and forth. But we finally get to go on a grown-up trip together.
Absolutely. I know you got a lot of catching up to do, too. So.
Oh, yes, we do.
So speaking of, and I'm going to kind of throw in a question inside of this next one, because I want to hear the story about how you got into Lockheed Martin. I think that sounds so amazing. I can't wait to hear. So I want you to tell us that story, how you got into there. But also tell us, how did earning all of those scholarship dollars, how did that help you to focus on your internships and pending job offers in your senior year of college?
Oh, wow. Okay. So I believe it was my junior year, one of them in college, that I was out for the summer hanging out with my boo thing, and we were at Six Flags. And I always say, even when you're out having fun, you always have to be aware of your surroundings and that someone's always watching. And so yes. I've never really been one to act a fool. I've never drank, never smoked a day in my life. I'm like the mother of my friends at all times. I'm always the DD designated driver. And so we were out at Six Flags having a great time, standing in line, and the lady in front of us was like, oh, my God, I'm so scared. And we were like, what are you scared? We're going on a Superman ride, which is one of those where your feet dangles and you're going all up and down. And she was like, well, my husband and my son's too small to ride, so my husband's not here. And I was like, oh, you can ride with us. We'll hold your hand. We all laughed. And so, you know, a little small talk or what have you. And she was like, oh, so are you guys in school? Well, tell me about yourself. And I was like, yeah, I'm a mechanical engineering major studying at Caribbean University. And she's like, oh, that's interesting. I'm the mechanical engineering recruiter for our internship program at Lockheed Martin.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, shut up.
Wow.
So, yeah, we had such a great rapport and such a great experience. We exchanged information. Of course, I followed up the next day with my resume and a thank you letter. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even have to interview. She was so impressed with me. She got me the job. And they flew me. No, I didn't fly. They took me and some of my stuff, and on top of my salary, I got a $2,500 stipend to work at Lockheed Martin. I got $18 an hour working at out in Arkansas, in the middle of nowhere. Mm-hmm. But I was flexible and willing to travel and get out on my own and experience a new place. And so, yeah, I was in the middle of nowhere. People who were born there die there, which actually inspired me to write my book in the first place, was being in this place.
Mm-hmm.
And, I was speaking with some students because I ended up being a softball coach for some elementary schools and joining the bowling league and the soccer league. I was there for 8 months. I had to stay busy.
Yeah.
And I was talking to some of the high school students, and I asked if they were, you know, applying for scholarships, are you going to college, had you fill out the FAFSA? And they had never even heard of the FAFSA before. And I was like, how do you not know about the FAFSA? Like, do you know you can get scholarships? You just have to apply. Do you know? And they didn't know anything about the process. And so I ended up writing my book, How to Build Wealth with Knowledge from Middle School to College. And it talks about a lot of the things that I'm telling you now and a lot of the experiences I had. I wanted to pass it on. And so that's why I ended up writing the book. So it was crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, when I say I'm divinely protected, I tell you, I've been through some things and just been in the right places for so many things that have happened to me. So your other question was, how did it feel to have scholarships while I was in school? So me being a super student, involved in all of these extracurricular activities, as well as every year I took anywhere from 15 to 21 hours. So I was very particular about the jobs that I took. I never had a job where I was at the gym or answering phones or anything like that. All the jobs I had, I was very proactive as far as asking professors who were doing research in the areas that I was interested in about trying to get jobs that would actually matter and give me experiences that were beneficial for me. But not having to work would have, having to work would have really just kind of ruined that for me. I would have been, 15 hours, they say you should be studying 3 hours outside of class for each class already, and 15 to 18 or 21 hours, it was just ridiculous. And on top of that, like I said, you have to do homework or else you're going to fall behind. You have to read. So I wouldn't have had an opportunity to be an effective student. Well, I won't say I wouldn't have had the opportunity. I wouldn't have had the opportunity to be as an effective student if on top of all of that, I would have had to work. I wouldn't have had the opportunity to actually enjoy being in clubs or hanging out with my friends, because if I wasn't in school, if I wasn't studying, I would have been working. So I really think all the stuff that I did in high school was worth it, even though I didn't get to party as much as my friends or I didn't get to hang out as much as my friends did. I think all of those sacrifices that I made were worth it for me being able to have those scholarships while I was in college.
And I love what you said just right there, is that it was a sacrifice. And the part about it is that it was temporary, because you went on to finish. You went on into those amazing positions, you know, and now, you know, you have your own company and you're doing life coaching with teens. So, you know, you didn't have that burden on you. So I like you said, I think it was well worth it.
Definitely well worth it.
And I love to, I've got to go back to the story for a second, is I love that you met her at Six Flags.
Yeah, it was so random.
It was. And, you know, the other thing I love that you said, too, is once you followed up with her, not only did you send a resume, but you sent a thank you letter. You made it personal.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's huge. That's huge.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's so funny. Time flies. I feel like we've known each other forever, and we've just been chit-chatting. But
definitely stay in touch.
We will. So I want to, I've got a question after this, but kind of any parting words. So for those that are listening and, you know, maybe they're struggling with maybe their career direction, maybe they're struggling with preparing for college, and maybe they're like the kids you met in Arkansas that maybe they're not as familiar with the FAFSA and those kind of things. Like, what would you say to those kind of students?
Well, while you're in high school, make your, your guidance counselor your friend. They have access to scholarships that sometimes aren't even posted yet. They have a specific stack of students that they're very familiar with, the ones that are hungry, because they have, every counselor has, hundreds of students that they tend to. And so if you're in there, in their face, they are familiar with you, then it makes it a lot easier to get the inside track on local scholarships or scholarships that are related to your job track. So make your guidance counselor your friend. I've always made guidance counselors and administrative assistants my friends. I would find out if they like chocolate and bribe them ruthlessly. Or take them flowers for their birthday, or cards, just thank you cards for little stuff. Like, oh, thank you for, telling me about this scholarship or whatever. On top of that, even though essays can be very tedious and scholarships can be very tedious, set time aside to, especially in your junior and senior year, to search for some. And even if they're low-hanging fruit of really easy scholarships or scholarships that you think will be fun, set some time aside to apply. Apply, apply, apply. There are billions of dollars worth of scholarships that go unused every year because people are too lazy to simply write an essay and fill out a scholarship application. That's two things. And three is get as many experiences as you possibly can while you're young. how did I know I wanted to be an engineer? In the first place was because I had a rich uncle who was an engineer, and at first it was kind of vanity because I wanted to be rich too. He's not really rich, but, you know, engineers make a lot of money. To me, he was rich.
Yeah.
And when I finally sat down and said, okay, so what's an engineer? What do engineers do? And he told me we get to make things, design things, break things, put them back together. It was something that I had a natural knack for. And so I did more research. I had summer programs that I was a part of. There was one called PREP, Pre-Freshman Engineering Program, in San Antonio at St. Philip's College. And we did logic, and we did computer coding, and a bunch of other fun STEM nerd activities. And from there, I took dual credit classes as well as AP classes. I ended up starting college with like 18 credits because of some of the activities that I pursued when I was in college. And so pursue activities and get a lot of opportunities in order, pursue activities and get exposure to as many opportunities as you can, especially at local colleges and universities, to do engineering kind of stuff. And so that's probably the three things that I would say.
I love it. I agree with everything you said. I do think it's a lot of laziness when it comes to the scholarship. But I also like what you said. It's about building that relationship with the administrative assistants, the school counselors. You know, that's huge. I tell people all the time, and I know you would, I'm sure, would agree, Nikita, that's a skill set that can take you not only through this phase of life, but even once you go into corporate America or go into the workforce. You know, it's about having those key relationships intact, you know.
Even in college, the financial aid office, your financial advisor, your academic advisor, all of those people need to know who you are so that they can have you on the top of mind if a research opportunity comes, scholarship opportunity comes. When I tell you I take these people chocolate, I'm serious. I bribe them.
Yes, and you know what? It takes that. You know, it takes standing up and being proactive, you know, and saying this is my goal, you know, this is what I need to do. So, Nikita, I'm so excited. So now, as we're kind of wrapping this up, I would love for you to tell us a few things. Tell us about your book and where can we buy it, and then tell us about your services, and then lastly, tell us how can students and parents find out more about you.
So I have a website, www.tackleyour, which is spelled urdreams.com. You can buy the book on there, or you can just contact me directly. I have social media. I believe my Twitter handle is TheCoachKita. Otherwise, you can look me up by my name, Nikita Bowman, NakitaBowman. I'm on all the social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And, so what we do offer is we have coming up is our launch of our 90-day program to prepare for college, which entails doing career exploration, really understanding what you're picking and what it means to be whatever it is that you want to be, as well as deciding like who you are, doing a 30-second commercial, creating a mock resume, really understanding where you are and where you need to be competitive, creating a portfolio, and then we get into the dirty of, okay, you want to go to Harvard. Do you know that Harvard doesn't even offer whatever career track you want to go into? So understanding if this is what you want to study, this is the type of education you have to have, this is the type of school you have to go to, and then helping them do research on the different types of schools, if that's what you need as a college, a high school junior or a senior. We also do scholarship help with finding scholarships that you can apply for and helping to assist with their essays and applications and things of that nature. Did I answer your question? Okay, good.
You did. I was getting ready to say, for those that are listening, Nikita did not pay me to say this, but reach out to her. Let her be a part of your support network as well. Take advantage of her services. Get the book. Reach out. She's very accessible on social media. I can say that.
I am.
And I'm glad you are. You know what? I'll say this, and then we'll wrap it up. Is I think it's important, you know, especially in this field, is you want, especially the teens and parents during a stressful time, a time of, you know, perhaps confusion about careers and things like that. And so it's important to be able to connect with people that are approachable, you know?
Yeah,
so
right. I definitely want to help, and I've offered help, and very few people follow up. So, you know, even if it's just a free consultation, hit me up. We are launching the second version of our book later on this year, so I'll keep you posted about that.
Awesome. And please keep me posted as well, because I'll add it to the show notes as well.
Thank you. Thank you for
You're
this
welcome.
Opportunity.
You're welcome. Thank you so much.
All right. Talk to you soon.
I want to thank you for tuning in to today's podcast episode. To learn more about how you can use your talents and achievements to find and win scholarships in less time, visit my website, which is www.collegeprepready.com. Also, follow me on Facebook at Prep4College. That's Prep4College. Now take care, and I look forward to bringing you more scholarship search tools, tips, and strategies in our next podcast episode. Goodbye.